Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio! Anyone listening? Anyone listening? Knock, knock! Listen, listen, this is Sammy Callahan, and you're listening to him on Yakuza Kick Radio. You better all listen!
Yakuza Radio, love the name, Yakuza.
You know what I'm saying? My homie J-Cat and the homie Eric.
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
All you had to do was listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that guy, you homie. Fuck that. Black D. Holla.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town, and it's Yakuza Kick Radio. And we're taking over.
Thursday, April 21st, 2011. Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio's tribute to Sweet and Sour Larry Sweeney. What we decided to do tonight, in light of the recent passing of Larry Sweeney at the young age of 30, another great, great talent that left us far too early. We decided rather than mourn the death of Larry Sweeney that we do our very best to celebrate the life of Larry Sweeney. So that's what we're going to do tonight. We have a lot of his coworkers and a lot of other people in the business that are going to call in. They're going to share their thoughts. You know, Eric has a lot to say. And that's what we're going to do tonight, do our best to tribute this guy in his passing. So without further ado, Eric, if you want to say anything before we play the entrance theme and get this going, you can feel free to do so.
Well, Larry Sweeney was, he was, and a lot of people will talk about this later in the, you know, in the evening, but Larry Sweeney, age 30, was trained not under Chikara, but he did train in Chikara. His first professional match took place at the Windy City Pro Wrestling Battle of the Belts in 2000 in Hammond, Indiana. He wrestled under the ring name of El Zapistia and participated in a three-ring, 120-man rumble. He did not decide to pursue a career in professional wrestling until 2002, when he was living in India and training in amateur wrestling at the Akahara in downtown Delhi, India. But after returning to the States, he completed his studies and enrolled in Chikara Wrestle Factory in Allentown, PA, under head trainer Mike Quackenbush and co-instructors Chris Hero and Skyda. But right now we're going to play one of his theme song that he came out to, and we'll be right back here on the Larry Sweeney Tribute Show here on Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yep.
Thank you.
And there you have it, the entrance theme for Larry Sweeney to start the show off. And give Eric the opportunity, maybe share some of his experiences going to see Larry Sweeney live, as he did many, many times.
Should we go ahead?
What's that?
I said, do you want me to go ahead or, and,
yeah,
you know,
absolutely,
kind of reflect on that thing? In about 2 minutes, we're going to have a good friend of Larry Sweeney calling in, one of many people that are going to be calling in, a close friend of Larry Sweeney calling in. Actually, he's not even in the business, but he contacted me just like a couple minutes ago and said he wanted to call in. So, and give his thoughts, and we're going to, you know, ask him a couple questions, you know, and stuff like that.
Right, right.
But, you know, I started watching Larry Sweeney wrestling live in person in around, I believe it was 2006. Yeah, it was 2006, and it was Tag World Grand Prix 2006. It was the last Tag World Grand Prix that Chikara did, and he was teaming with Mana the Polynesian Warrior, and that was my first ever Chikara show. It was in Hellertown, PA, and, you know, seeing this guy, you know, with, you know, the glitz and the glamour, it was pretty much like something different. Like, you know, you only see that in the Big Time Wrestling Federation. But, you know, we're just, you know, it was different. You never seen that before. And as I started watching more Chikara, I got more behind him, you know, and I loved his heel gimmicks. I loved his heel stuff. He was the best heel ever. I remember the one show I went to. It was a lot of fun. He was, you know, very interactive with the fans, and, you know, talking with him a couple of times. He actually lived for a short while in my hometown of Bethlehem, PA, and, you know, the one time I had seen him at a Walmart here in in my area and stuff like that, and I was like, holy shit, it's Larry Sweeney. And so I walk up to him. He was buying dish detergent at the time. And I remember seeing him, and he was walking by, and I'm like, yo, what's going on, Sweeney? And he looked both ways, and he put on like the biggest smile ever. And he's like, oh, I don't really see fans that much around here. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, yeah, what's going on, man? He's like, nothing, just buying some dish detergent. And his catchphrase that he would always say is 12 large, brother. So he said that. He was like, you know, I'm just buying some dish detergent, 12 large, brother. You know, and it was hilarious. And, you know, he went on his way, and, you know, I went on mine. But, you know, after that, it was a lot of, you know, seeing him wrestle many, many times. And, you know, by the way, in about 2 minutes, we're going to have a friend of Larry Sweeney, who worked at Chikara with him, that Larry called him Stove. That's his nickname. But he'll be coming on in about a few minutes. But it's a friend of Larry Sweeney, so.
Right. One thing that I think really, you know, stood out, you know, about Larry above all was his charisma, his passion, you know, the amount put into his gimmick. I mean, he made you believe what he was out there, you know. The showboating, you know, the things that he was trying to get across came through without effort for him. It really just seemed completely natural. He was a good throwback to a lot of the guys like the Ric Flairs, the Buddy Rose, like those type of guys, you know. He just had that charisma. He had that to stand out. And anybody, you know, he had managed quite a few people over the years, and, you know, it came off as definite, you know, a heel manager that had full control of the situation. And he was one of those guys that, you know, you'd see wrestling your favorite guy and you wanted him to get ripped apart more than anything else, because he had such arrogance and he had such swagger about the way he conducted himself. So that was something that I'm sure he worked quite hard on to get to that level, but in the end it really came off looking completely natural. And Yeah, that's what always stood out for me, you know, with Larry.
I always thought he had a he had it. And his wrestling, you know, he wrestled a very old school, you know, style of wrestling, you know, like he, you know, a very old school style, and you don't really see that nowadays. You see a lot of big moves, high flashy moves, you know, high impactful moves, but you don't really see the basic down to earth, you know, body slam, arm bars. You don't really see that much nowadays. And Larry did it, you know, Larry did it good. It was, you know, as a heel, he did it, you know, very good. And, you know, really had the fans wanting him to get his butt beat, you know, to lose every match. And, you know, to watch him go out there and, you know, get people mad and get these, you know, they always wanted him to lose. And in the ring, that is, you know, people liked him a lot, but, you know, they always wanted him to lose. You know, he was the bad guy. So, but he had it, and, you know, he's going to be missed in the wrestling community, but that's why we're doing this show tonight to, you know, to remember the good times and, you know, sweet and sour Larry Sweeney.
Absolutely. You know, and a lot of people, a lot of wrestlers, you'll hear, you know, they'll say the phrase of less is more. And not only, you know, that can be very true through time, but it takes not just anybody to pull that off. I mean, anybody can go out there and pull off, you know, 25 spots in a match, and it's going to get the quick reaction of the crowd. However, if you're able to go out there and do basic stuff and still draw in the attention of the crowd through your gimmick and your enthusiasm and your passion about what you're actually trying to do out there, that's when less can become more and you can stand out regardless of what kind of spots you're doing or anything like that. And it takes a lot of work to be able to do that and pull off a gimmick properly so it comes across like that. So I think that's a clear example of, you know, the less is more, like you said, the old school style, but it takes a lot of personality with it in order to make that work.
Right. I mean, that's what he did. And it was different from Chikara because it's Chikara, you have a lot of gimmicks, you have a lot of masks. And I know a lot of people, you know, that aren't Chikara fans. You know, I'm a big Chikara fan. And it's different. It's a lot different than everything out there. You know, it is different. And a lot of people are trying to be that way. You know, a lot of promotions are calling themselves lucha companies, and I think Chikara is the standard for what people should be like. You know, if you're trying to be a lucha company, you know, Chikara, or you're a lucha fan, check out Chikara. You know, if you're a, you know, and Sweeney works with a lot of promotions. If, you know, we want to get into that real quick. You know, he worked for the CCWs. He worked for the Ring of Honors. He worked for, he even worked for the WWE in a, you know, not a big stage, but did one angle, you know, but it was hilarious when he dressed
Nick
up
Hogan.
As Nick Hogan. Yeah, that was hilarious because I remember watching, you know, that was at the point where I was like, holy shit, like, I love Chikara, you know, to the point where I had to see everything in Chikara, you know, was doing and stuff like that. That was back in 08. And, you know, I'm watching Raw one night and I see, I'm like, what the hell? I'm like, that does look like Larry Sweeney a lot. And then I see on the, you know, on the internet, holy shit, Larry Sweeney just appeared. And I'm like, yeah, I was marking out big time. Because it's like, holy shit, like one of the guys made it, you know, that you followed and so that. It's always good to see somebody make it to the TV, the big time and so that. But, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, he definitely accomplished quite a bit, you know, and, you know, his time in the business. And, you know, as far as managing, I mean, he's managed some of the top talent out there. You got guys like Matt Sydal or now Evan Bourne who, you know, were managed by Larry Sweeney. And, you know, of course, one of his trainers in Chris Hero, he's managed him many, many times. And, him and Claudio is, and, you know, he's wrestled with them. He's managed Davey Richards. He's even managed Greg the Hammer Valentine. He definitely got his name out there. He was definitely able to make an impact and really came off as, you know, like I said, the top heel manager and really got his point across when it came down to it.
Yeah, I mean, he did so much good stuff with the managing stuff that was like, I mean, his wrestling and his management were both on the same level, but yet they were so good in what he was doing. I mean, he did so much good stuff. He was such a dick with the managing, and he was such a dick as a wrestler. And, you know, I just think that the one thing I don't like that Ring of Honor did is that they didn't use him enough as a wrestler, because I think he's that good of a wrestler. He was that great of a wrestler that Ring of Honor could have used him in a wrestling aspect. Now, maybe that was a, you know, that was Larry's decision, but we, you know, I don't really know, but, you know, I mean, he could have been used. Like I said, that's their decision, but I'm, like I said, my personal choice, I would have put him more of a, as a wrestler, because I think he was that good of a wrestler.
Yeah, yeah, he was good. He was definitely good. There's no question about that. Just waiting on the calls to come in. Should be any minute. And
I mean, if
Juan,
if you're a fan of Larry Sweeney and you want to call in and you want to tell us your thoughts on Sweet and Sour Larry Sweeney, give us a call at 347-215-8300. Once again, the number is 347-215-8300. We'll take your call and we'll put you on the air.
Yep. And, yep, like I said, just waiting for some calls to come in. We have a bunch planned. If you want, you know, we'll take a quick break, play one of his promos that he was well known for. And we'll come back in a minute and kick it off from there.
Okay.
You know, Eddie Kingston, finding partners to team up with me at the Cybernetico, October 28th, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, has been one of the easiest things I've ever done in my life. It's like shooting a rifle at the side of a barn, baby, because everybody hates you. Huh? You bum? Huh? And you know, I've got Fist, I've got a team of Icarus and Gran Akuma. I've got Chris Hero and Claudio Castagnoli, the Chikara Tag Team Champions, combined, the Kings of Wrestling with Larry Sweeney on the 28th. I've got three more partners that I need to have. And to find those partners, I look beyond the state borders of Pennsylvania, baby. I look beyond Sakura. I went into your past. And I found three guys who you used to team up with who want nothing more than the shot to kick your butt in the ring on the 28th. That's right, baby. Brandon Beto and Sal, the Thomas House. They're going to be on my team. My team, Larry Sweeney's team. In Philadelphia on the 28th. You know, there's some partners of yours that you couldn't hang on to either. And what is it about you, King, that you can't hang on to anybody? Who's your partner going to be, huh? Huh? You going to bring out Joker? You talking with him? What about Shavian, huh? Huh? Or are you going to get Blackjack Marciano to drag his fat butt out of retirement? I don't know, but I'll tell you what, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to fighting whatever bums you can find to share a side of the ring with you. Because one thing is certain, and that is that I have assembled the best team in the history of cybernetics, in the history of professional wrestling. Eight men who all have one goal, one aim in mind, and that is to put you out of the business on the 28th, my man. And that's exactly what's going to happen. So I'll see you then, baby. We'll do the dance. See you, sweetheart.
That's something that he was definitely known for. His ability to cut a promo was like no other. Just came natural to him.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if you hear that promo was from 2006, in late 2006, when they were setting up Eddie Kingston versus Larry Sweeney's team. In a Cybernetico, pretty much elimination, eight versus eight, which was a 16-man, you know, Cybernetico, and, you know, it was a big deal. It was a 70-minute match because, you know, you had to pin each person. It kind of went into it's kind of different with the Cybernetico. It went into a batting order, so, like, once, you know, there was a batting order for the team, for both teams, so pretty much, you know, everybody got to work everybody, in a cybernetico. And still, you know, still this day, it's still that way. But we're still waiting on some calls, and I don't understand where people are. I mean, you know, I got like 10, 15 people saying, yeah, I'm good for this time, and I'm still waiting for phone calls. So if you're out there waiting, you know, and you're listening and you forgot to call in, the number again is 347-215-8300. I got like 15 okays, so I don't know what's going on with this.
Oh, you know, this happens, but you get a bunch of people, and, you know, different things happen, and I'm sure we'll be right back on with the calls in no time. Like I was saying, you know, the charisma came through 100%, promos, you know, his ring work, everything. One of my favorite things, because I've only maybe seen one Chikara show live, I believe. One or two. Not really positive on that. But so I didn't really see a whole lot of Chikara live. I have seen a few DVDs, and I'd say probably my favorite thing that I saw with him was his feud with Eddie Kingston. I thought that was really good. I'm a big Kingston fan, and it's, like I said, the classic heel to make you really hate the other guy that he's working. Well, that would easily be Larry Sweeney, because he knew how to be that arrogant guy that you wanted to see the big tough guy in Eddie Kingston take out. So that was a lot of fun watching that feud.
Yeah, I mean, that was, you know, and they did so much different things with that feud, you know, from the strap match that they did in November of 06 in Hellertown, which I was at. It was called the Yellow Belly Strap Match, and it was a yellow strap, and it, you know, worked like a strap match, and they pretty much had to touch all four corners, but they pretty much didn't use, I mean, they didn't, you know, the match started in the ring, but like the first 10 minutes of the match after they got in the ring and did the introductions was all on the floor beating each other up and hitting each other with the strap across the back. And it was pretty intense for Chikara, you know, and it pretty much set the bar for that feud. I mean, the feud was set up pretty huge because they did a lot of angles, you know, where Sweeney would call Kingston fat, and Sweeney would say, you know, you make Chikara, you know, you should be ashamed of yourself, and pretty much do a lot of crazy stuff. And there was also another big angle where you could, you know, actually go on YouTube. I actually tried to put this on the switchboard, but for some reason, the two promos that I tried putting on never converted. I don't know why, but it was one of them of Sweeney hitting Eddie Kingston with a car in Reading, Pennsylvania. That during one of the shows, during one of the matches that Kingston had with somebody, Larry Sweeney got on the mic. He wasn't even in the match. Sweeney just got on the mic and started ripping Kingston a new one, and started saying, "Oh, you're fat, you suck, you know, you should just quit wrestling, just like Blackjack Marciano," and Sweeney ran outside, grabbed Ultramantis Black's keys, and hit him with the car and drove away. So, I mean, that was pretty much crazy for what they did at the time. And, you know, it was an intense rivalry, you know, for the most part, which was,
yeah,
you know, something that, you know, if you're a fan of professional wrestling, you need to see this Larry Sweeney. If you never heard of Larry Sweeney, type him up on YouTube, you know, do some research. The guy was a very good talker, you know, had it with talking. And like me and Jay are going to say it millions and millions of times, you know, the guy had it with in wrestling. He just never got the right push, maybe because of size or whatever. I don't know. Maybe I think that's a big key to what happened with Larry Sweeney. With the wrestling in the wrestling business, so why he never got a big push is because of his size, you know.
Yeah.
And somebody's listening to the show in the background, but that's fine.
Yeah, that was the mute button. The mute button got hit on my computer. It happens.
That's fine. That's cool.
TV remote laying on the keyboard. What can I do?
That's fine. How are you feeling today? Getting off topic real quick. How you feeling though? You feeling a little bit better, Jay?
Yeah, I'm hanging in there. I'm doing what I'm doing. Yep.
I think all the people in the chat room should send well wishes to Jay,
Please get out of here with that. I'm fine. So anyway, waiting on a few calls.
Let me try something, because these promos are acting up for some reason. I don't know why these promos. I tried pressing play, and now they're acting up big time.
Okay,
Did you want to try
to play another promo? And
well, I'm trying to, and every time I click anything on the switchboard, it's saying error. I can go to calls, but I can't play anything off the switchboard right now for some reason.
Huh. I wonder why that is.
I can't even do anything. It's telling me everything I'm pressing, error. I don't know what's up with this. It just started doing this. I'm like, because I knew you were about to say, play promo, and I have four promos, and nothing's working.
Huh. Well, that's,
I don't know what's up with Blog Talk. I'm gonna try to send them a message while we're doing the show. See if it works. See if they can fix it. But we pay the big bucks, so they should be fixing it.
Yeah, they're the big bucks. Well, where do we go from here?
Okay, I might be having a phone call any minute now from a Chikara wrestler. So we might be having somebody, but. Somebody just hit me up that they're good now, so
let's
see if I can get them. But there's a lot of and people in the chat room, if you guys are too shy to call in to the show and have your name, have your voice heard, stir up a conversation about Larry Sweeney. If any of you guys, in the chat room, want to, talk about your memories or, what you think of them or, anything, just put it in the chat room. Maybe we can read them off as we go. I know J-Cat's in the chat room, so maybe you can read them off if you can, or if I can,
sure.
I will. But, once again, the number to call in, if you want to call in, 347-215-8300, and we'll put you on the air.
Yeah, hopefully our switchboard will get back up by the sometime during the show, and we'll be able to play you a few more of those great promos. But we'll have to see that as it goes along. And I see Nina's posting about DJ's Facebook. I'm sure it was hacked. He's posting about selling CCW to WWE and telling everybody bye and talking. Another Facebook hacking. What can you do? It's pretty much happens all the time. So, pretty funny though. So Eric, why don't you let us in on some of the other matches that you've seen of him? And
of course. Let's see what else I haven't talked about yet. Oh, I gotta also say something. So Larry used to have a gimmick where he'd come out with this belt. And it was called the ICWA Texarkana Television Title.
Right.
And he brought that into Chikara. And don't even ask me. It was pretty much a made-up belt. He made up his own belt, and he called it the ICWA Texarkana Heavyweight Title. So, that was
pretty
much
a TV title? I thought it was the television championship.
TV title,
yeah, 27 time holder at that.
Yeah, pretty much he would lose the belt, and then he would decide, that he's he'd make up some type of rule, so he would get the belt back. He would say that the television, he would have all these crazy rules to the belt, and he would make up the rules as they went, as he went. So if the belt, if he didn't want to defend the belt after 5 p.m., you know, he would say that the match was a title shot, but then when they would win it, he would say, I'm still the champion because the rule book says that television titles are only, you can only, you know, win, you know, go for the belt at a certain time. And it would be like a 2 minutes over the time. So he would be still champion. So he would get away with that. You know what I mean? So it was pretty much like a comp angle gimmick. So it was awesome. But we actually do have somebody on hold, and it's a Chikara wrestler, and we're going to be putting him on the, I can't even talk tonight. Welcome to the show, Steven the Turtle Wiener. What's going on, Steve?
It's very great to be here, and not to correct you guys, but it's Weiner.
So you know.
But in all fairness, it is spelled the same way as Wiener. I can understand the confusion. Right.
Yeah. So, we're bringing you on the show, and Jay, if you want to, you know, ask him any questions about Larry.
Well, just more or less like him, you know, to be able to tell any stories or, you know, reflect on the life of Larry Sweeney.
Where should I start? I remember Larry was a great man, at least when I was around him, and he was to many people. I'm not saying that he never was a great person. It's late at night as well, so I'm choosing my, I'm going to, if I say wrong words, I apologize. He was someone I really admired and still do. I remember first meeting him for MXW, was it? Yeah, MXW, even before I went to Jakar, I believe, for my first show. I could be wrong. It was in Waterford, Connecticut, and he had basically a Jakar exhibition match that night for WXW against Shane Storm, and wow, I was blown away. And then I remember when Action Packed Wrestling, a promotion that runs up in Vermont, had their debut event, I was invited down and got to be a part of that first card. And Larry Sweeney happened to be on that card as well. If I'm not mistaken, he faced Delirious that night. And just the amount of, and dissipation for the match and what the crowd reaction was, it really stunned me. I mean, this is a guy that could wrap anyone around his finger. He could just bring you in and send you out, and it's just, and I really don't know what else to say. I'm sorry, I do have a lot more, but I'm sorry.
Take your time, man. I know it's a difficult thing to talk about. It definitely is, but now I hear what you're saying. He definitely knew how to work a match. You know, he knew how to take the crowd with him, and
yeah, there is one other thing I remember. Way back when I actually just started wrestling, I was basically, I guess the word would be obsessed about letting people know who I was, just because I'm from New England, and I wanted to branch out in New England, and I thought the best way to do that was I basically gave or tried to sell T-shirts. Not knowing what that meant. Larry, which I completely forgot about this until I was actually looking him up on YouTube recently, wore one of my shirts. Not only that, he wore it for both one of Jakara's special updates, and I believe, and during Jakara's first ever steel cage match, when he came out, he had that shirt on. And that's the kind of person he was. He just wanted to help someone else give the rub. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's someone that would definitely, like, you would make anyone a star. And he made other people. He's like, this is someone that definitely wanted to see everybody grow.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. He will be missed.
Yeah. Although I will say this, it was fantastic getting to see him last October. Like, I thought that was that's one of my favorite moments of all time, and that's how I choose to remember him. That's the Larry Sweeney I will remember. The man from Redondo Beach, Florida, the multiple-time ICWA Texarkana television champion. A man that's too sweet to be sour. He's the tower of power, and there ain't no doubt about it. And that's basically it.
Yeah, well, I mean, thank you for sharing your thoughts with us.
Anytime, brother.
Anything else you'd like to add? Otherwise, yeah, thank you for coming on, and we'll definitely do our best to continue to tribute Larry the best we can.
Yeah, I wish I could pull it up beside me. I remember when the information of his funeral service was announced, the family requested that anyone that wanted to send donations send them to a fund that dealt with bipolar disorder. Please, if anyone's listening to this and you know the charity that I'm talking about, please, if you can contribute anything, please do. Because I don't want to ever see anything like that ever happen again.
Absolutely.
And that's all I got.
All
I
right.
Miss him. But thank you very much for letting me express some memories.
You're very welcome. Thank you for calling him.
No problem. Have a great night, Ted.
You too. All right, and that was Steve the Turtle Weiner.
Yep, that was kind of emotional. Kind of, you know, I'm not gonna lie. You know, kind of brought a tear in my, you know, thinking about all the memories that Steve brought up and stuff like that. And like he said, I was at the show that that Steve was talking about back in October, where he showed up unannounced and was in the Cibernetico, whether it was Team Chikara versus Team BDK, which is the Brudershaft. I think we had a thing in the chat room. Somebody said something in the chat room. Give me a second. Where is it? I think Juan said something in the chat room. Oh, was it? Oh, yeah, yeah. Juan said, I remember him and Lufisto when they had that cage up all night when Lufisto arrested Sweeney, I guess.
Yeah, I believe, was that CZW's Trapped?
Yeah, that all cage show.
Right. Yeah, most of the Larry Sweeney that I got to see live was definitely all CZW because I'm, a regular, as everyone knows, over there at CZW. And, I got to see him against Excalibur. I believe he defended that TV title there that night. And I believe you are right, and he pulled some trickery and got that belt back the same night.
I think he even lost that belt. I think he even lost the match and then made up a rule that the match wasn't after, 5 o'clock, so the belt stood in the, stayed in his hand,
yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a great way to have a belt and make your own rules. How awesome is that? You know what I mean? And only Larry Sweeney did that. You know what I mean? Nobody else did that.
Yeah, it was quite a gimmick he had going, and like I said, I saw a lot of him, in CZW in the short time there, and very, very enjoyable guy to watch. I mean, you really love seeing those guys that go out there with their gimmick, and they play it 100%. There's no, they don't break gimmick. It's more or less you're getting everything. You're getting everything that's put out there that, is meant to be.
All right, keep talking real quick. I'm gonna screen a call. Hold on. Oh, never mind. They hung up. They hung. I don't know why they hung up. I had a phone call waiting on the air, and I was just about to screen. Go to see who it was, and they hung up. So.
Okay. Well, whoever that was, can feel free to call right back up, and we'll try to get you on the line. Like I was saying, when he puts out that gimmick and he comes out there, with the flash and the swagger. You don't see, it doesn't look like as if it's put on at all. It is, it looks like that is the same guy. That's him.
Right.
So, yeah. Yeah, he did a great job. Great, great job.
But yeah, like what I was saying, you know, he what else? But yeah, he debuted in Ring of Honor in 2007. And my switchboard just went down, so give me 1 second to get back up.
I believe it was actually late 2006. I think it was December 2006 that he debuted with Ring of Honor. And he came in, interfered on behalf of the Kings of Wrestling, and started off his run that way. And that was, you know, Chris Hero's new agent was Sweet and Sour Larry Sweeney, and then they began to form Sweet and Sour, Inc., and then Sweeney added to his clients, would be Chris Hero, Sarah Del Rey, and personal trainer Tank Toland and Bobby Dempsey. Matt Sydal was briefly part of it as well. Then he more or less from there took credit for signing Matt Sydal to the World Wrestling Entertainment when he went over there.
That was hilarious. And then he tried to, when Claudio broke up the group, when Claudio was out of the group, or they kicked him out, he was trying to sell Claudio to Vince and stuff like that. I remember that. That was pretty hilarious for what that angle was. We do have another phone call on the air, and it's one of Larry's, a good friend of Larry Sweeney. His nickname to Larry was Stove. Hey, what's going on, man?
Hey, man, how are you? Thank you for having me on here. I just wanted to briefly talk about just like a good memory I have of Sweeney. And it was when I was training for Chikara Wrestle Factory. And it was a couple years back. And, you know, during training we would have practice matches and everything like that, you know, just to be ready when the final day comes. And we were at Hellertown, Pennsylvania. And we had the ring set up, and it was time for me to do a practice match pretty much in front of everyone. And at the time, you know, I was very nervous and had a short time to call it. And I just pretty much wanted to impress everyone and all my family and friends there. So, you know, I'm a very flippy guy, so I thought the coolest thing would just be doing a bunch of flips and everything like that. So I get out there, and I forget the real dynamic of wrestling. It's not all about the flips. It's more about the character and the charisma and everything like that. And I go out there and do a bunch of fancy flips, and, you know, I get everyone's advice afterwards, and some of the people at Chicago have the best advice they've ever given me in the whole world. And Larry came up to me and just told me straight up, you know, like, you know, Stove, the flips were nice, but that's not what it's about. And he taught me so much more that in my eye at the time that I had no clue about wrestling, and he just taught me to grow so much more with, like, the whole wrestling world. And it's just some advice, like, he was just so real to tell it to me, and the great friend, because it opened up my eyes so much more, and it's not just about a moonsault, you know, and just learned a great deal from him, you know, and it's going to... You'll miss that about him, but, you know. I know this weekend, definitely, we tore it up for King of Trios, and I know he's watching down over all of us. And I just want to say I love him, and I miss him every day. And there's not a day or a minute that goes by without me thinking of him.
Yeah, for sure.
Pretty much, guys, yeah.
Yeah, he will be missed in the wrestling community, and you know, he was one talented individual that never really got his due in the wrestling business. I mean, he was so talented with you know, his voice, and you know, his wrestling was, you know, top notch as well. You know, I think one of the reasons why he may not have gotten signed to a big time deal. And I think maybe it's his size, you know, that it was size was, you know, a key issue, you know, to that. But like I said, no, everybody's not going to be 6'3", you know, 250, and you know, like I said, you know, he had it in wrestling. You know what I mean? Not many people have it in wrestling.
Yeah.
He definitely did. Definitely.
Well, thank you for calling in, sharing your thoughts.
Hey, thank you very much. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Not a problem. Anytime, man.
All right. God bless.
I'll talk to you later.
Talk to you. Bye.
All right. Yeah, so, again, another good friend. And, you know, we also have in the chat room, we have Toby Klein, and he was just a second ago looking at a picture that Larry Sweeney signed for his oldest son, Brody. And I'm sure, you know, he's feeling the emotions over there as well. Toby isn't able to call in due to his phone and everything, but, you know, big shout out to Toby. And, yeah, another guy that really loved working him, and, you know, he loved his gimmick. And it's... you know, like I said, it's a terrible loss. It's really hard to deal with, and anyone that sure was around him in the business and worked hand in hand with him, it's much, much harder for. You know.
Yeah, it's sad, and like I said, you know, the last two callers, you know, you could tell that the wrestling community is going to miss him. You know, I mean, he won't be replaced. You know, I mean, don't ever, you know, I hope nobody out there says that he'll be replaced, because, you know, he won't be replaced. I mean, this guy was one of a kind, you know, in the, you know, with his promos and his flamboyancy, and, you know, he worked a lot of other places, you know, pretty much, you know, he worked in a lot of states. I'm pretty sure, I think I read somewhere where he might have wrestled in every 50 state. I think. I think the only one he didn't wrestle in was Alaska. I'm pretty sure. I think he wrestled in every state.
That's pretty
impressive.
Sure
somebody told me that. So, like, when you can wrestle in every state, that's awesome. I know he wrestled in Hawaii because he actually said that he wrestled. Apparently, also from what he also said, that he actually used to train with Playboy Buddy Rose back in the day.
I said, he's a good throwback to Buddy Rose, as I had mentioned earlier, without even knowing that he had trained with him. So that's it just shows it really shows through that, you know, he picked up, he was a definite student of the game and learned a whole lot, you know, on his way through, and he was an old school type guy, and that's really refreshing to see sometimes, because wrestling keeps changing and innovating, and while that's really great, it's also good to see someone pull it off, you know, the way it was originally intended and the way it was when it started, you know, back then when it actually started to gain popularity, that someone still remembers that time. So that's really big. Yeah, he had also taken his talents over to Canada, Mexico, Japan, and Europe. So, I mean, he's been well spread. He definitely found his way to many, many places, and deservingly so.
I think a lot of people wanted to use him for a simple fact that he could entertain, you know, and that's, you know, that's what I've been saying all night, but a lot of people, you know, he was an entertainer. He was, you know, he might have been a bad guy, you know, on screen, but he was one hell of a nice guy and one hell of a performer, you know, in and out the ring, you know. You just wanted to see him lose, like I said before.
Yeah, definitely.
But, you know, he's, you know, I'll keep saying this, you know, he'll be missed. And, you know, I remember watching, you know, seeing him return to Chikara in 08, or no, not 08, last October, when he was the eighth man, but he came in under a mask, and people were like, who's this mask guy? And he comes running in the ring and starts beating the hell out of Pinky Sanchez, takes his mask off, and the place went bananas for Larry Sweeney, because he was, you know, he had returned after, you know, a brief absence from Chikara, and at that point he wasn't even wrestling. He was just doing something with Sinbo D, a.k.a. Kasarni. He was doing something, and Vegas at that time. But
yeah, that was Volcoder, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
he was only, well, he cut promos as it, you know, as the gimmick. But then as soon as he came in the ring, it was, he took the mask off right off the bat.
Right.
And
Toby's telling us in the chat room that one time they had both worked. IWA in Chicago on Friday, CZW in Philly on Saturday, and IWF in Detroit on Sunday. And, you know, Toby told him we should have traveled together because they didn't know that they were on all three shows. So these guys did that amount of traveling within 3 days and didn't even get the same ride there. I mean, those are three dedicated guys right there that just have pretty much tunnel vision to where they need to be. And it might be till the end of the weekend before you realize, hey, you came from you came from Philly yesterday too? Oh, yeah. Oh, shit. You know, it's kind of crazy the way that works. So, yeah, and Toby's saying you remind him of a young Kurt Hennig in the ring. And that's very true.
Yeah, I can see that comparison big time. You know, he had, you know, Kurt Hennig, you know, people wanted to see Kurt Hennig get his ass kicked and, you know, had the same heel personality, I actually never thought about that until Toby just said that. And you know, I totally agree 100% with that. Hold on a second.
Okay, hopefully Eric may have another call coming in. Not really sure, though. So, hang on. But, yeah, there's a lot of comparisons that can be made over time. You know, like I said, he was a talented guy.
Jay, on the line we have the King of Diamonds, Eddie Kingston.
Hey, what's going on, Eddie?
What's going on, fellas? Who else have you guys had on tonight, man?
We had Steve Weiner.
Hey, all right, cool. Good title.
And another close friend of his, you know, he kind of stayed anonymous, you know, Chikara does, and, you know, shared his thoughts. That's pretty much it thus far.
It's a rough thing. I'm not surprised a lot of people haven't called, you know, because a lot of us did our, you know, crying in therapy during the King of Trio shows, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which I suggest whoever didn't go to the events to pick them up at Smart Mark, man. They pumped out those DVDs like crazy. And I also want to thank all the fans for coming out, too, for those events. And, you know, all the guys at Chikara wrestled with very heavy hearts. But, you know, I can hopefully speak to everybody. They all wrestled for Sweeney that night.
Yeah.
All three nights, actually. But, and to be honest with you, I wasn't going to call in because I didn't want to talk, but...
I just
called out of work, and, you know what I mean? I was like, look, I'm not going to make it in, and I was like, I'm not going to talk about it. I'm not going to call. And then I go on my Facebook, and I go look at the pictures of me and him, so I was like, you know what, let me give a call in.
Yeah, you know, and we also got Toby Klein in the chat room. He can't call in, but he says, what's up, Eddie?
My man, Toby Klein, man. I miss Toby. Always had fun with Toby Klein, man. What a very underrated wrestler. Also, you know, on a personal level, great guy, too. Great guy to hang out with. Great guy to chill with. Always great in the locker room. Tell Toby I said, what up?
All right, man. I'm sure he hears you. Listen.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but, man, go ahead and share your thoughts with us because, you know, you're one of the top people we wanted to hear from, knowing how close you guys were.
Yeah, man, like, you know, I got a lot of respect for you guys. That's another reason why I called in, because you guys had me on before and stuff, you know what I mean? You know, it's crazy what happened, and it's really nothing more you can say about it. I don't think I'm ever going to truly get over what happened, and you know, I told people, and well, I didn't really tell people, but I told a certain few that the rest of my wrestling career and basically my life basically is dedicated to Sweeney, because he was that important to me and that important to a lot of people. He, you know, a lot of people say this when someone passes away, like, oh, you can't meet a person that says that they didn't like him, but I can't really even tell you how true that is about him. Everybody that met him could not say, oh, I didn't like him. You know what I mean? He was such a just an outgoing guy, and such a lovable person, so smart, so down to earth, well read, well educated. You know what I mean? Me and him used to stay up on those long car rides. I'd be in the front, he'd be driving, and we would just talk and talk and talk for hours, just about anything, not just about wrestling, but about life in general. You know what I mean? And also, he was just one of the funniest guys I ever met. We used to stay up, like I said, in the car rides for hours and do Johnny Cash impressions, you know what I mean, and listen to Johnny Cash. And the only reason why we agreed on Johnny Cash was because he hated rap. Well, he hated the rap I liked. And he loved the Police with Sting and stuff, so I used to make fun of him about that. And we couldn't agree on any other music but Johnny Cash. But, yeah, man, he was real close. Came over to my house for Thanksgiving. I met his family, his family's a very wonderful. You know, man, I can't speak poorly about his family ever. His family was amazing. You know, I mean, it was a hard, sad day last Monday, and it's still very hard. You know,
I don't know.
Yeah, I haven't cried since, you know, well, you know, going to the ring Saturday, you know, going out to highway, man, you know, my tears welling up in my eyes, and I was very happy to be in the ring with Eric Cannon on Saturday. You know, that match was truly for Sweeney, because we were both very close with him, and me and Cannon went out there and killed each other for him. But you know, it's sad that everyone, you know, everyone who wrote on my Facebook, thank you, and everyone who hit me up, who didn't even know Sweeney, you know what I mean? They just knew how close we were. Guys I worked with, guys outside of wrestling, you know, were hitting me up because I used to tell people about him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Ex-girlfriends who I have been talking to, who either I did them wrong, which is not a surprise, or they did me wrong, were hitting me up saying, I hope you're okay. You know, because they just knew how close we were. But, you know, when they would say, I send my condolences to you, it's not just me. It's the whole, I feel bad for the whole world because they haven't gotten to, either they didn't get to meet him or they didn't get to see what he could do as a person, not just in wrestling. You know what I mean? The wrestling part's just one side of him. As a person, as a man, he was just so amazing.
Yeah, definitely. And as far as the wrestling, I was telling Eric earlier, I said my favorite, you know, thing that I've seen out of Larry Sweeney was the feud that he had with you.
Yeah.
Because it was that classic, you know, cocky heel that you just wanted the big tough guy to just beat the shit out of, you know, and then it came off perfect. He made you believe it, and you had your side, and it was what wrestling is supposed to be.
Thank you. Me and him, we believed in the old school wrestling. You know, I mean, we're looking forward to feuding with each other since he first got in, you know, man, and because we both believe in a certain way of wrestling, you know.
Yeah.
And that's something I'll never forget, that feud that I had with him. Only guy that hit me with a car in my life.
Yeah, I was about to ask you about that.
Yeah, that was we you know, we stole that from Eddie Gilbert and Jerry Lawler. Like I said, we loved the old school wrestling. You know, we loved Memphis. We loved the NWA. I remember, staying at his house just watching DVDs and tapes of the old school, like Memphis and NWA and AWA from like the 70s and 80s, you know, and man, I never wanted to go home when I stayed with them, you know what I mean? If I could have, you know, if I had the money, I would have stayed on his couch forever, you know, and just hung out with him all day, you know, waking up to him making fun of me and busting my chops and smelling that coffee that he would always have on him, and him waking me up and him comparing me to a snake, because the way I would wake up when he would poke me to wake me up, I would always jump, you know, just a bad habit. I would jump with my hands like cocked, you know, and he would die laughing about it. He had such an infectious laugh too. I don't know, you know, that's on YouTube somewhere, the pause button with the colony. And, you know, funny clip, but what makes it even funnier was hearing his cackle in the background. You know, the way he would just laugh was infectious.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, even the promo we started out the show with was him cutting a promo on you and what partners you were going to find and who would even like you enough to be partners with you and everything else. And it's classic.
Me and him were supposed to be the highwaymen. That was supposed to be us, and we were supposed to come out to that Johnny Cash song sooner or later, you know.
Yeah.
I'll never forget standing in the camera didn't pick it up. But excuse me, I need a cigarette.
Go ahead.
We were, you know, the Super Nothing when he made his big return. I got goosebumps twice in wrestling from being in the ring. Oh, three times. I apologize. The one time was when for Ring of Honor. During that Cage of Death thing, CZW versus Ring of Honor, and Homicide's music played, and the people went ape shit, you know? I caught goosebumps standing in the ring. And then, speaking of that night, too, I remember walking to the back all bloody, all beat up, and Sweeney was there to give me a big hug and tell me how proud he was of me, since he knew how badly I wanted to be in Ring of Honor, especially when I made the TV debut, you know what I mean? Sweeney was one of the guys that really get me in there, you know. He used to bother people to get me places, you know. When I didn't have faith in myself, he had faith in me. That's what, you know, would kill me. When I would say, Sweeney, I'm too fat to wrestle, I just, you know what I mean, I'm not that good in the ring, and da-da-da-da, you know, just bitch and moan, you know, I have low self-esteem as it is. He would always be there telling me, no, you know. And remember one time when I went on, as I like to tell people, my sabbatical, where I didn't show up for shows for 2 months because just, you know, I'm a manic depressive as well. So when you go through that chemical imbalance, you know what I mean? When I went through it hard, I was no showing shows for 2 months, and I'll never forget. Sweetie didn't call me. He didn't email me like someone else would. He wrote me a handwritten letter, and I got it in the mail. Only he would, you know what I mean, have that, to me, that kind of class and that kind of effort to do that. And because of that letter, I came back to wrestling. I'll never forget, he said, it feels like I lost one of my best friends. And when I read that, something clicked in my head, and I was like, all right, I got to get back to wrestling, you know. But anyway, the second time I got goosebumps was standing in the ring while Alice in Chains was playing and Tommy Dreamer came out. And the third time I got the goosebumps was during Cybernetica when he took off his – I was the last one out. And I turned around and I said, all right, here we go. Here's the moment. And he came out and he took off his mask and the people just went crazy in Easton. And I just remember getting a chill and getting goosebumps because he was there. And the camera didn't get it, but when we got in the ring together, it was me and him holding off to BDK. But we looked at each other and, you know, we weren't supposed to do this. This was right off the cuff. We hugged each other because it was a real moment. I was so happy to see him in the ring, especially at your car ring. You know what I mean? Where we were both trained at, where we both met, you know, and I just remember giving him a big hug and almost crying in the ring, and then I said, okay, we got to get back to it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're standing there punching BDK while they're coming in, singing Highwaymen together in the ring, so, and then that night just hanging out, doing karaoke together. I know a lot of people remember who was there with us, remembers him doing one bourbon, one shot, one beer, an 11-minute song, not even looking at the screen once while singing it. And that was all Adam Sweeney, you know.
That's great, man.
It was a great moment, and it was great to see him like that. That was my friend that I remember, you know. So.
Yeah, definitely, man. Now, you got to hold on to the memories because, you know, that's what makes it special.
Oh, no, without a doubt. And every time I step in that ring, it's going to be for him. I don't know how much longer I have in wrestling, you know what I mean? But You know, I've been doing it for 9 years. Who knows how much longer I have. I want to keep going until I reach my goal, but now especially, you know, since I dedicate my career to him, I want to do everything I wanted to do, you know, because me and him, our future plans were to, you know, retire from wrestling. Me and him used to joke around, and we were going to be bitter old veterans in Florida.
Yeah.
Open up a school and say everything any kid did, we would just say, ah, that sucked, that was shit. Even though it could have been good, we just wanted to, you know what I mean, we just wanted to be one of those bitter old guys, you know.
Yeah.
So, he was one of a kind, man, and everyone says that about people who pass away, but, like, nothing was ever truer about anybody but that with him. He was really, he was one of a kind, and if you met him and if you got to talk to him, you know, he touched a lot of people just by them seeing him on DVD and you know, tapes or YouTube, you know?
Yeah.
But, if you met the brother, perfect example, you know what I mean? You know, my father don't listen to this, so he ain't going to mind that I'm saying this, but my father's not a very emotional man. You know, it's kind of like that's the way he raised me and stuff, so. But I told him what happened, and I'll never forget that night. I walked by his house, and he's sitting outside with his dog and just staring into the distance, you know what I mean, just blank. And I never seen my father like that. That just proves to you, you know, what a powerful person Sweeney was, you know, where he would take a man like my father, who I'd never seen uneasy about, you know, he's been uneasy, but like in his own personal way, you know what I mean? But I've never seen him like that out in public. So that just shows you how special he was and everything.
Yeah, Toby's saying this is his 15th year in the business. And he asked, when was the last time you got to see or talk to Larry?
Last time I got to talk to him was after Cibernetico. So I was like, I got the DVD in front of me somewhere. I've been watching them constantly since Monday, you know what I mean? Sometime in October, I got to see him. We did the thing in the ring. I'll never forget, he walked into the locker room. Everybody's, you know, going, doing their own thing. And he walked in the locker room, and everyone just stopped, turned around, and just started running to him, you know what I mean? So, yeah, I got the DVD in front of me. It was October 23rd, 2010 was the last time I saw him. And, you know, just, and then going out with him that night, hanging out with him, being in the car with him, talking to him. You know, he would make me talk about things that I'd never really thought about, like religion and like politics and stuff. He would make me think about things, and I would just be like, what? Is this me talking? You know what I mean? Like, sometimes I would look things up just, like, knowing that I would have, like, an 8-9-hour road trip with him to either IWA Mid-South or to Minnesota or Alabama, anywhere we went. And I would just look up on things to be like, you know what, I'm going to get him with this point. You know what I mean? Because he would make you think, you know, about everything. And he was just such an educated person, you know, and see, October was the last time I talked to him. I tried to call him up for his birthday and everything like that. You know, it was hard to stay in contact with him. He was moving all over the place at the time, you know?
Yeah.
But it was so great to see him then, because that was him. That was the Sweeney I remember, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's a huge loss, man. I mean, they never stopped coming, it seems like. It was one after another in, you know, 2010. I think the last time we got you on was talking about JC. And the next thing you know, I mean, you know, we're losing Larry. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, it's got to stop.
They all hurt, you know what I mean? The Trent one hurt, you know what I mean? Because a lot of my friends are very close to Trent, and I had nothing but respect for Trent. JC hurt because, like I think I said last time, man, I was also drinking when I called you guys. So I was an emotional roller coaster when I talked to you guys that day. You know what I mean? I'm trying not to drink as much because, you know, I'll probably lose my mind drinking right now. But, you know, the whole JC thing, that hurt a lot because JC was the first guy I did a lot of things with in the ring. And JC was one of the very, if I can remember, you know, one of the very few guys who were nice to me and Blackjack and Jigsaw when we first went, and Bryce, when we first went to IWA Mid-South. You know what I mean? We were outsiders, like, real timid and nervous, you know?
Yeah.
And then the whole Sweeney thing hurts me a lot because, you know, I haven't told a lot of people, but I told enough people that it'll probably come out at some point. But if I ever planned on getting married, you know what I mean, he was definitely up there to be my best man, you know what I mean, or my groomsman. He was definitely, that was going to be a moment I wanted to share with him, you know what I mean, because me and him used to joke around, and he would see how much I hated women, well, you know, how much I didn't trust women, just the way I am. And he was always fucking my chops, and he would say, you're going to get married first, blah, blah, blah. And I would tell him, you know, if I get married, brother, you're the first one there. You're the first one that's going to know you're going to be the best man, and da 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 da. You know?
Right.
No, I remember his dog, Wheezy. He used to make fun of me about his parents' dog, Wheezy. Because for some reason, that dog took a liking to me, and me and the dog would stay up all night and play around. And he would just make fun of me. He'd be like, oh, big tough Eddie Kingston. It becomes a mush when it comes to a dog, you know.
Yeah, man, like I said, I just hope we don't lose any more, because, I mean, we're losing some of the best out there. And
yeah.
I just, you know, I also don't want to see anybody else, you know, take this stuff to the point where it takes them down as well, you know. I mean, a lot of it
is
kind of domino effect.
Yeah, and you know what I mean? We've seen it as kids. A lot of our heroes as kids passing away. You know what I mean? Like, one that comes right to my mind is Eddie Gilbert was the first guy who made me want to be the first American wrestler that made me say, okay, I can do this, you know, or I want to, you know.
Right.
He passes. Another one that comes to my mind is Terry Gordy, some of my favorites, you know what I mean, who passed away and stuff like that. And then, you know, Eddie Guerrero was a big loss for a lot of people because he inspired a lot of people as well. And then now you have in our generation of guys, you know, and it's sad that you see our generation of guys starting to go. And maybe they didn't learn from the generation before us, but as what this is what happens, you know, this professional wrestling. Being in the ring, this is just my personal opinion. Being in the ring is great. I love being in the ring. I love having the people hate me. I love having the people love me. I don't care if you respect me in the ring, my ability or not, or you think I suck or whatever. I just love the fact that you're a wrestling fan and that you come to the shows and you pay to buy a ticket. You know what I mean?
Right.
To be honest with you, there's some days where I'm like, you know what, fuck you assholes. You know what I mean? That's just human nature, you know. But when it comes right down to it, I'm just happy people are supporting this. I feel is a great art form of pro wrestling.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? But the business aspect of it, the personal life of it, I think a lot of people have to understand we're not supermen, you know what I mean? Or we're tough guys, I like to think, but not as tough. We're not tough enough to beat death, you know what I mean?
Yeah, nobody is.
Well, yeah, no one is, you know. But it just sucks, man. And every day I wake up, you know, and I think about them, and I sit there and I just go, this really can't be true, you know. And I loved that kid. I loved him more than I say I love myself. And it was just it's a rough thing, and it's a rough time for everybody. But I know the Kid Trio shows did a lot of therapy for a lot of people, including myself, you know, because we needed to be around each other to support each other. And like I told a couple guys, man, if you're down and out about something, pick up a phone, call somebody. There's always someone there to listen, you know. Don't ever feel like you're alone, you know what I'm saying? Because there's always at least one person there that will listen to you.
Yes, it's a shame, and you know, like you said, there are people out there, and then you hit a certain point, and you separate yourself from the rest of the world. There's really nothing you could do at that point, but yeah, you could get through to them at that point. That's true,
and then I feel kind of guilty about that because he got through to me when I was on my own little hiatus, and it just It sucks we couldn't get through to him, and, you know,
yeah,
everybody...
Can't take it where, you know, you take any blame in the fact, because honestly, I mean, you could try everything you can, as you saw, you know, with a lot of the people we've lost in the past, and
yeah.
If it's going to happen, it's going to happen. It hurts, but it's got to make us stronger so we don't lose no more.
No, that is definitely true. That is definitely true. But, yeah, I mean, I'm getting tired of getting those phone calls. You know what
yeah,
I mean? Like,
believe me, I know, and
yeah, you get those phone calls where you have 6 missed calls and fucking 8 or 9 text messages, you know what I mean? And this even shows you how loved this kid was. One of my close friends, his nickname's Pretty Boy. He is a pretty motherfucker, but he met Sweeney like 3 times. And he's texting me, Eddie, you all right? I'm so fucking sorry. I can't believe this. This sucks. I'm going, what happened? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So just shows how he transcended. It wasn't just... As a person, it wasn't just wrestling. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. My heart goes out to you, everybody close to him, his family, everything. Because, I mean, as a wrestling fan, it hits us hard. And if it's hitting us hard, imagine the people actually knew him. So,
yeah,
my heart goes
out
to all y'all.
Yeah, and, you know, I guess in closing, just, you know, for me, on a personal level, he will never be forgotten, because every time I step in that ring, you know what I mean, I don't have to wear his shirt or an armband or have Highwaymen playing for the... I want all the fans to know who are listening to this or listen to it later or whatever it is. I want all the fans to know that this is everything I do in that ring now is going to be for him. Every bump I take, every move I do is for him. And, excuse me, and... Also, in closing, man, if you anybody, fan or wrestler, you got problems, man, call somebody. You know what I mean? Someone will be there to listen.
Yeah, definitely, man. Well, you know, thank you for calling in. You know, we definitely wanted to hear from you. And, again, my condolences, man.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me. And tell Toby Klein I said what up, man.
All right, man. Definitely.
All right, guys. Be safe.
All right.
Bye.
So that was the King of Diamonds, Eddie Kingston. We were looking forward to talking to him. Eddie's always a very emotional person, and he speaks from the heart. I mean, you're never going to hear anything that ain't 100% true or heartfelt out of Eddie.
Right.
Yeah.
All righty, so. you may put on the next person calling in?
Yes, you go right ahead.
All right, we want to welcome to the show a good friend of Larry Sweeney, Tony. How you doing, man?
Hey, how's it going, buddy?
I'm doing all right. Jay, you want to take over?
Yeah, just wanted to come and say some things about Sweeney. You know, I've known him for like probably 5 or 6 years, and he's always like just a bright guy, like just a bright person. Meaning, like, you come to him and he just makes your day better. You can have, like, the worst day ever, and you just say something and you just smile. And, you know, his laughter, you just hear it, and you just, no matter what you're doing, it's like, it's not important anymore, you know. And, you know, coming through training and stuff like that, he gave me a lot of good advice and stuff, and he wasn't afraid to answer any question, no matter if it was, like, a question you really wouldn't ask somebody or nothing. He's free to open to, you know, anything that you had to ask him, and he gave you a realistic answer. He gave you the truth and nothing but the truth. And, you know, I was just glad to have known him and glad to have, you know, that person in my life at one point. And, you know, it's just crazy not for him not to be here anymore, because I was just such a fan of him, and I probably would not have started training if it wasn't for him. And it's just strange to live past somebody that you looked up to, and, you know, and I just hope that anybody who ever was changed by him or has seen his match or anything like that, just, you know, send a prayer out there to him, and, you know, hopefully he looks down and takes care of us, because, you know, we probably need him more than he needed us, you know?
Yeah.
that's all I wanted to say. I just wanted to get my two cents out there and just tell you a little story about, you know, just how Sweeney was always just a nice guy. And, you know, no matter what, I was my first day in training, he treated me like, you know, I was on the road forever, you know. Just traveling with him, and he didn't treat me like I was a newbie. He treated me like, you know, I was just one of the boys. And I'll never forget that, and I always try to put that extra out there just because of him, you know. I want to be remembered the same way that he's remembered, you know. He passed away, and people look at him like, wow, that person really made good things happen and just changed people's lives. And, you know, he might have been crazy, but he was crazy, like, fun crazy, you know, crazy like the person you want to be around, you know. And it just wants me to make myself a better person because of that. And I just want to say thank you, Larry Sweeney. Thank you for being that person to make me a better person. And thank you guys for allowing me to say that.
No problem, man. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
Right. All right. Eric?
All right, that was Tony. That was Tony. And are you there, Jay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Another friend, another guy that worked with Larry Sweeney, and, you know, again, I mean, the theme is, and, you know, a lot of this sounds, may sound just gimmicky or cliche, but when you do hear the same type of thing out of every person, it becomes truth. I mean, it's not just something someone's saying in order, you know, to pay their respects or just to say something nice about someone who's not here anymore. But no matter what, I think the point that's gotten across very evenly is that this guy, now, okay, as we said, he would put out that cocky, super arrogant swagger in the ring that you believed. I mean, as a fan, you would look at it and you'd go, wow, like, man, this guy must be a dick. Holy shit. And everybody we've gotten a call from has told us how much of a humble individual this guy was, how much the newest, freshest guy that walked into that building got treated with the highest of honor through Larry. And Larry had no problem with helping out anybody he could and showing everybody the mutual respect as they walked into that place. And as they entered the business, they got embraced because Larry Sweeney loved wrestling. And that's something that's very, very special, and that's you know, it's just echoed by, you know, everybody that calls in, you know, from, you know, Steve, you know, Weiner, that you know, he entered the business, he was barely in there. Larry Sweeney had a cage match to wrestle that night. He walked out there with Steve's shirt on. You know, it just, you know, and had to have immediately. Of course, that's no pull within the company. That's not a company giving someone a push. That's one guy giving another guy in the business a push. And that's got to, you know, make a guy in the back feel really good. Say, hey, I'm not anywhere yet, but this guy that is somewhere is out there representing me out of his own kind will. And that's, I mean, there's something to be said about that because you're not going to see that out of a lot of guys. There's a lot of guys that get a couple years in the business, and nobody else could even talk to them unless they've heard of them. You know, you hear a lot about egos in the business. You hear a lot about the biggest douchebags in the locker room. You don't hear enough about the guys like Larry Sweeney that help out all the other guys coming up that really, you know, make everybody back there better. And everybody who has, you know, got the opportunity to work with Larry Sweeney and, you know, feel that, just as this past caller said, learn from his example and go down remembered as the same type of guy, as the guy that helps everybody he could and, you know, doesn't just shut down everybody. Put your ego away, you know, make this business better. And I think that's something that Larry Sweeney always did. So that's more or less what I'm getting out of this so far. I'm definitely seeing a lot of this same vibe, and you know, it's a lot of respect that comes out of that.
Yeah, man, It's, you know, and a lot of, you know, you hear the tribute tonight to Larry and sort of that, and you know whether you're a fan, whether you're a wrestler, whether you're, you know, just somebody, you know, if you hear the stories that these people have given us to us tonight, you really feel for the family, you know, especially the family of Larry, for losing such a great guy. I mean, this guy, you know, as you can tell from the callers we've had, such a nice guy, would do anything and even give his, you know, the shirt off his back for you if he knew you, you know. So, I mean, the guy is, you know, he's going to be missed. And I'll keep saying that, you know, a lot. You know, Larry, you know, I mean, the words can't describe what, you know, what the wrestling business lost a great guy.
Yeah.
But if anybody in the chat room wants to call in, or if anybody listening wants to call in and reflect on the memories that you have of Sweet and Sour Larry Sweeney, give us a call at 347-215-8300, and we'll take your call.
Absolutely. Yeah, we've gotten a lot of good calls. We did have a whole lot more lined up that just really didn't really haven't called in.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. I got three of them called in out of like 12.
Right.
Know.
Well, I mean, the thing is, and I understand this 100%. And the fact of the matter is, it's not easy to talk about. The closer you are, the harder this is. You know, it's one thing if you just got people calling in for an interview to talk about everything good and talk about their career and this and that. That's, you know, that's something you might want to take personal if people are just fucking blowing you off. But when it comes down to talking about somebody they loved and held close to them and really had fond memories of, although that might sound great for all of us to hear those memories, it's not the easiest thing to get out when that person is gone.
Right.
You know, that's enormously difficult. We've all dealt with losses in our lives, and hey, a week later, 10 years later, you might still not want to talk about that subject. It's a very, very sensitive thing, and again, I don't hold it against anybody who didn't call in. You know, we did have a lot confirmed, but this is a very, very difficult thing to do. You know, we set it up, we put it out there, so anyone that does want to put out there, you know, their feelings. You know, Toby keeps, you know, putting his comments in there. You know, he said he was a tremendous personality and a tremendous human. And again, that's echoed sentiments of everybody who has called in thus far. Don't have a bad word to say about Larry, because, you know, Larry had, you know, he suffered from some mental conditions and mental illnesses, and in the long run he wasn't able to overcome them, but those were things that didn't affect other people. They only affected Larry. When he was around other people, he treated everybody with tremendous respect. You know, he came off as a joy to be around. He may not have been a joy to be around for himself, and in the end that might have been, you know, what it was. But nobody else felt the way that he felt about himself. Everybody loved him.
Everybody, you know, and I know there's a lot of people out there that, you know, really, you know, say some good stuff about Larry and sort of that. And I know they did a really good, touching tribute at Chikara, and you know, Quack was in tears during his matches, and you know, rightfully so. You know, this is one guy that he trained, and as I was talking to Eddie the day after this whole thing came out, you know, it's the first death in the Chikara family. I mean, Chikara is a family from what, you know, Eddie has said and from numerous people that have said. You know what I mean? Chikara, it's a wrestling company, but it's a family because a lot of people have been trained at the Chikara. So they spend countless amount of hours at the wrestling school working on their craft. and doing all types of things. So the wrestling business is just like a big family. And, you know, people that might not have known Larry or maybe met him once or twice probably have something good to say about Larry, you know, Larry Sweeney, you know, who was taken from us very early in his life. And, you know.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's sad, you know.
Of course. Yeah, so, again, I mean, if anyone does want to call in, you're free to do so. We're still locked up on the...
Yeah, I'm having a big time, and I don't even see anything on this. I see the calls, and I see a message saying that the buttons where I can press buttons it's having technical difficulties. So I don't know what's up, but I can see the calls, and that's about it. I just see calls. I see blank to where it usually says files, and it has what time it has the show information on the left, and the files are in the middle. I only see it says switchboard, and it has all the callers. That's all that says right now.
Huh.
So I'm having a big problem with that.
Yeah,
I had this problem last week, and I refreshed the page, and it worked again. But I've refreshed the page, and it's not working. So I already sent a message to Blog Talk, and somebody's trying to work on it. But like I said, we'll probably have it working. I don't know. I really don't know. I'll try to see if it works. But, yeah, it's not even – nothing's showing up. So I don't know what's up.
Well, I mean, I can give it a try to play it through my computer and see how it comes off. If you like, you really,
yeah, I'll send you the link that I was, yeah, I don't know how that's going to come off, but I'll send you the link so you can play, you know, cause I have all the links here, so I can, give me 1 second.
All right.
It's a two minute. Let me just turn this off real quick. Hold on. What's up?
Toby says Larry's pulling a rib on us guys, and he's messing with our show tonight.
Definitely, I can see that now.
Very possible.
Where are you? Let me see if.
I don't know what you're trying to send me.
All right, hold on. I'm trying to send you a link.
Okay.
Give me 1 second. I'm gonna post it. I'm gonna see if this works. Okay. There. It's in the chat room.
Okay.
This is the other one.
Okay. Now let me see. I'm going to try to put this through on my computer and just see how it comes off. So bear with us, people. We'll hope for the best. And here we go.
You know, it ain't easy being the champ. Don't get me wrong. It's great. The perks are phenomenal, man. The perks are out of this world. But there are a lot of sacrifices involved. Driving the two-lane highways from small town to small town, riding the loop, it ain't easy, man. Just last week, I was driving from Corpus Christi, Texas, all the way to Biloxi, Mississippi, and I had a rumbly in my tumbly, baby. I was so hungry, I didn't know what to do, because you can't find anything to eat down there. There's nothing to eat down there, you know what I'm saying? And I'm driving along, and I see this glow off in the distance. This glow, I said, this is my salvation. This is where I'm meant to be. I pull up a big set Christmas lights everywhere, man. Red, neon, yellow, it's so, man. It was shining. Big man with jammers. Shack of Love and Gumbo and rib tips, and I pulled up, and I was treated to some of the best home cooking this side of Mama Sweeney's kitchen. I was in there for hours, man, in there for hours. And when I came back out, I looked to see where my trusty Trans Am is, and it was gone. It was gone. I was in the swamp alone, and I didn't have my car. I went back in and luxuriated myself with Big Man Majama and some more rib tips. And finally, when I came back out, the Trans Am was there. A bunch of swamp hoodlums had stolen it, and they left it empty tank of gas, reeking of their own stink. You know, I got to admit you, I hate the swamp. I hate the swamp. It smells bad. You walk in, you get your shoes wet, and then your socks are wet, and then your feet stink, and you can't get the stink out. And then I saw a little video that a wrestler by the name of Delirious type. Delirious, you and I have a title match coming up for this. The ICWA Texarkana Television Champion. Well, Larry Sweeney's going on the line. I challenge the swamp, and you represent the swamp, Delirious. June 2nd, Rutland, Vermont. APW, you and me, baby. Larry Sweeney versus the swamp. And the swamp is going to go down.
Well, I hope that came off okay. Not really sure, because I'm hearing it through the speakers that my phone is putting it through. So.
It came off really good, Jay. Came off really good.
Good. Excellent. So that means we might be able to get in a few more before we do close the show. And if we do have any more calls coming in, hopefully they'll come in soon. We were open to running 3 hours for the sake of fitting everybody's calls in, but due to a lack of calls, not really sure if we should attempt to do that, Eric. Do you think?
I think we'll just go to 2 hours. I don't know why these people haven't been calling in, but
the emotions run high, and I really can't blame anybody for that because it's very difficult. So no problem. We'll play a few more promos. Give this guy a good remembrance of what he was and So
another one that we can play. Hold on.
All right.
Let me try to send it to you this time. Okay.
I mean, there's okay. We'll pull this up. It's starting out with Bryce Remsburg and Leonard Jakarison. So, just in 1 minute, here we go.
Looking for out of the way, get out of my way. Did you see what happened last night? I saw the match already last night, of course. Larry Sweeney doesn't have the Texarkana title, and did you see that he had the tights?
He had the tights.
He did not.
He
won by holding the tights. And you know what? I'll tell you what. We need a rematch. You haven't looked at the Texarkana rule book. There's a 24-hour clause for a rematch for the champion who's holding it, and it's not defending the Texarkana, and it's not even Almada. Chinchilla doesn't even know where Texarkana is, for God's sake.
If you want a rematch tonight that bad, you got it. But none of your usual dirty tactics.
Oh, come on.
Chicanery?
Oh, chicanery. What are you talking about?
I've got my eye on you.
All right, fine. And I've got my eye on the Texarkana TV title.
Yeah, so there's a good example, too, on, the things he did with the Texarkana title and the type of trickery that he pulled and always tried to, get over and find another way to keep that title. So, that's one. There was another
right.
one from...
I tried sending you. Where the hell is the other one?
What's that? Well, I'm going to... Let's try this one out. This is one he cut in 2005. We'll try this one.
It's been a long month for Larry Sweeney. Let me share with you something that Mama Sweeney told me when I was just little bitty Larry. She said, Larry, what matters is not what happened in the past. It's what happens now. It's what happened in the future. So am ago, I knew what I had to do. I knew exactly what I had to do. I had to get on an airplane and fly all the way to Portland, Oregon, and visit my good friend, the Playboy, Buddy Rose, and tell him exactly what happened with Sweet and Sour International. He took it all in over a steak dinner. And he said, Larry, let me tell you something. I'm going to put you on the express train to Shreveport, Louisiana. There's a title being held there, 16 men in one night, and it's for the ICWA Texarkana Television Championship. And I know you're going to win. I know you're going to do it. So you have my spot. You take the Playboy spot. Get on that train and go and win it. Guess what? Guess what, wrestling fans? That's exactly what I did. Check it out, baby. Check out your new ICWA Texarkana Television Champion. That's right. Only defended on television, baby. Only defended in the front lines and the big cities. And Leonard Chikara called me up, and he said, bring that belt to Chikara, baby. Defend it in Chikara. I said, you know what, Chikara? I said, you're a bum. Huh? You're a bum living in your Appalachian hut. I said, I ain't defending it there. Not unless I got protection. If it's not on TV, it's a special condition, and I need protection, baby. And I need the man known as Mana. That's right, baby, that's right. It's the only belt Chikara, and Larry Sweeney's got it, baby. And Donna has got my back. So let me tell you something. All of you bums, you thought Larry Sweeney was down? Huh? Huh? Thought Larry Sweeney was a beaten man? Huh? Huh? I'm the champ! I'm the champ!
Yeah, yet another classic Larry Sweeney promo, teamed also with Mana, as discussed earlier with the, you know, I forget who had actually brought that up, but that was, you know, another promo that was done by him, and I thought it was very, very good. Again, his charisma is unbelievable, and here's one he did for CZW. We'll play this one.
Nick, okay? Nick, right? Just drink. Okay, I'm so sorry. I mean this. You guys are awesome, okay? And I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry about what happened. Those Canadians, but you know what? I should have known better, because you'll never trust a Canadian. You understand me? Nobody can wrestle up north of the border. I didn't know they were Canadian. I saw them at a show. I knew it was a show in Tampa, but I didn't think they were Canadian. What a bunch of bums. You know what? I paid them good money. I paid their trans for them to get down here. Because, I wanted to get you guys good partners, you know? So, you know, I'm not going to be at the show, okay? I'm not going to be at the show. And there you go. I've got other obligations I've got to take care of. But you've got a match with them. Fuck them up, dude. Just fucking go nuts, all right? Fucking kill them, okay? I don't want to see any more Canadians in CZW, all right? And you guys are the toughest guys in CZW. So just fucking destroy them, right? Listen, okay, Larry Sweeney and the A-Club, send a message north of the border, okay? You got me? Just fucking go crazy. I mean, put them in a lot of pain, all right? All right? And I'll see you in June, okay? You better believe it.
Yep, so yet another Larry Sweeney promo, and I think that's another clear example. I mean, this guy, just world class. I mean, when he cut a promo, he knew what he was getting across, and he never failed. So Eric, you there?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just working on figuring out why, what's going on with this, you know, with the switchboard. I have no idea what's going on with the switchboard. This switchboard is pissing me off tonight. Maybe Larry C is pulling a rib on us, because I can't see a thing on the freaking switchboard now. I see calls. I see you. Your number, and that's it. I don't even see my number. That's supposed to show up. The only number I see is your number.
Huh.
Ross is really screwed up tonight. Holy
strange
crap.
Enough. Well, what have we got left? About 10 minutes?
Yeah.
All right. Something I want to do, you know, in light of what Eddie Kingston was telling us, and everything like that. You know, we'll talk for a minute. We'll do what we're gonna do. But I'm gonna close out the show tonight with Johnny Cash's "The Highwayman" as a tribute to a song that, you know, Eddie and Larry shared together, and it was a common ground that these two guys could, you know, get together on and, you know, sing in the car and, you know, actually break out into in the ring when they were teaming up, you know, and I think that's a, you know, a pretty special thing. I think that's something pretty heartfelt that'll actually, you know, do good tribute. So, is there anything else you want to say before we close out the show, Eric?
Just that I want to thank everybody for checking us out tonight. We had a couple, we had a lot of good callers. Thank you, Jay, for letting us do this. You know, for helping me out and stuff like that when we needed it. Thank you to Nina for helping out with the show too. What else we gotta say? Thank you to Eddie. Thank you to Tony, Steve the Turtle Weiner, Steve, who called in.
Toby. You know, thanks, yeah. Toby, for cheering. You know, checking in the chat room.
Yep,
huh?
Toby. I forgot about Toby.
Everybody listen. Everybody listens on the archive, because I hope that people, you know, who weren't able to, you know, reel it in and call in, I hope they're able to listen to this on the archive and actually, you know, hopefully enjoy what we did. You know, we did what we could, and I hope everybody did enjoy it.
Yep.
So, what we'll do now, everybody check us out next week for our normal show, doing what we do, talking about all that is whatever in wrestling, and back to our goofy ways next week. You know, we had to go on a more serious note this week because it was right to do so. The man, Larry Sweeney, I mean, he deserved it. And so we did this for him, and I hope we did him well. Check us out next week. For Eric Williams, I'm J. Cat Morris. Enjoy this as we take it out on this note.
I was a highwayman. Along the crossroads I did ride, sword and pistol by my side. Many a young maid lost her baubles to my trade. Many a soldier shed his life blood on my blade. The master taught me in the spring of 25, but I am still alive. I was a sailor, I was born upon the tide. With the sea I did abide. I sailed a schooner around the Horn of Mexico. I went along the world and made some little flow. And when the yards broke off, they said that I got killed. But I'm living still. I was a dam building across the river deep and wide, where steel and water beat alive. A place called Boulder on the wild Colorado. I slipped and fell into
the wind palm trees to move. They buried me in that grave with no rose sign, but I'm still around. I'll always be around, 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 around. I'll fly a starship across the universe divide, and when I reach the other side, I'll find a place to rest my spirit if I can. Perhaps I may become a highwayman again, or I may simply be a single drop of rain. But I will remain. I'll be back again and again and again and again.